Sambonani, Dumelang, and Velkom. My name is Professor Robin Kriegler, and this is episode 3 of Cast Chats. I want to apologize to everybody following along. This has been a long gap, longer than anticipated, between episode 2 and episode 3. But I'm really, really thrilled to be able to share this episode with you, because it was genuinely one of the most inspiring conversations I've had in a long time with somebody in the realm of history or cultural heritage preservation. I spoke to Susan Scosana, who is a multi-talented entrepreneur, historian, poet, dancer, who doesn't have a formal background, academic training in history or cultural heritage, but inspired by a love of and an interest in her family's history and the history of her community, which is the village of Khabalatsane in Northwest, she has been able to create so many different institutions, from an art gallery. She's written multiple books, and she was able to sit down and talk a little bit about her journey, about her uncle, about her grandfather, and everything that sort of came together to build the type of project that she's carrying out in Northwest Province, which is a truly sort of community-based and community-driven project. I think her story is so important in a moment when history and heritage are under threat from so many different quarters, be they budget cuts at universities to political interference in the telling of history. It's very, very important to me that we're having these conversations and that, like Susan, people are actually getting their hands dirty in the field and linking their own local stories to stories halfway across the world, as she talks about some of her communications with Germany, for example. So thank you so much for taking the time out to listen to this episode 3 of Cast Chats. Sit down and relax. If you like the podcast, feel free to review it on Spotify or leave a comment on YouTube. I would love to be able to hear from you and hear your ideas for future episodes. This Cast Chats is a platform where creative people, artists, and comedians come together with scholars to have conversations about our mutual love for the Southern African past. So, without further ado, it's wonderful that you're here. Let's start the show.
Yeah. All right. Well, welcome to Cast Chats, Susan. It's lovely to be able to have this interview. The first thing that I usually do with these is to have the guests sort of introduce themselves in their own words and talk a little bit, I guess, about their sort of origin stories, how they came to be doing what they're doing today.
I'm Susan Itumeleng Skosana Nikhasi. I'm a proud daughter of Khabalatsane Village in Northwest South Africa. My origin history, it begins in this dry, dusty village. It's in Northwest Province, of course, of South Africa, where I was born and raised, surrounded by the rich cultural heritage of my people. Growing up, I was fascinated by stories of my ancestors, struggle stories, their triumphs, my great-grandfather, Mihakhasi, who was a renowned cultural activists in our village, representing the Bakona Bamakgopa people, an activist, sculptor, whose works are now based in and housed in German museums that I'm trying even right now to repatriate. His legacy inspired me to devote my life to protecting and memorizing Khabalatsane and its heritage.
When did you realize that that was something that felt like you needed to do, as opposed to just being something that you really appreciated from your heritage?
That was way back around 2004. Looking at the family albums here in my village where I was born and bred, because my uncle, Christopher Contenstein Khasi, who was the founder of the dance school in Soweto. It was a Latin and ballroom dance school in Soweto. He was also a celebrity photographer, a professional. So you may understand that if you have a professional photographer in the house, obviously the house will be packed with albums. So from family albums, growing up when I was young, we were kids, we were playing with so many pictures, not knowing the value and importance of them. We would have outdoor, play games, still holding those albums. And at the end of the day, they develop some scratches, some lose their freshness. So that's then when in 2004, I decided to pick out a pic of my great grandfather from those albums. And I had to think in my mind, myself saying, we do have a school here in our village, Kabalazani village. And the school was obviously named after my great granddad. It's Micha Khasi School. Him originally, he's Micha with an MIGA, but documented as MICHA. So I had to say to myself, why can't I make a way of reaching my dream of taking a pic to Mekha Khasi School, it framed for the school to see the face of Mekha Khasi? Because I talk about an 1864 to 19 1864 to 1956 born South African, pioneer of contemporary art, and also an earliest, one of the earliest, the Setswana speaking documented authors of popular books and poets, church ministers. I talk about also school principals, educationists, the first to introduce literature in the village. I also talk about self-taught sculpture, of course, and write of popular books. So I said, if it made him to become that kind of a legend, for a school to be named after him, but in the past he was popular. Currently he's not popular because we have the latest generations, and there's still a school named after him. I mean, I remember at some stage we shot even a film at the same school through Big Fish School of Digital Filming, which was based in Marshalltown in Johannesburg. We were seeking for information on why the school, trying to research from the learners why the school was named after Khasi. Nobody knew. One of the scholars said, to her thinking, she thinks the school was named after Khasi because it belongs to the family of Khasi. And what does it tell? It tells us we have a lot of work to do, coming to schools, information sharing. So yeah, that's what they prompt me to say, I'm gonna take this picture of my great granddad. It's in black and white color, it's gray color. And I'm gonna make a way of enlarging it and giving it to Mihakhasi School, so people can be aware on how that legend looked like, facially, because there's just the name visualized, but the same name can be related to the face. That's what prompted me in 2004 to take out that pic, and then that's when the actual job started of my passion of research over the old man. I mean, in my family we do have intellects, but out of those, I'm proud to say I'm the first one who thought of digging deeper and documenting stories on Khasi. Then I was invited from Soweto to travel to Gabalazane village because there was this launch of that office block. There was also the MEC of Education. That time it was still MEC, Mr. Lehari. So I was invited as the storyteller to tell the stories why the school was named after Hasi and also to become the prize poet of the day, still reciting the poems that he wrote 131 years back. So this is a mileage for me to say I have brought information back home where it belongs, because most of schools of Northwest Province have been touring in the past, taking remote village educational tours to Johannesburg to learn a glimpse of work written about the legend. The actual reason for them to have those school tours was to learn from 2.5 pages of a book, Land and Lives, by Dr. Elsa Miles Botha, that documented Khasi in passing. So I said I will make a way of bringing information home where it belongs. If local Soweto scholars are capable of touring to the house of Nelson Mandela to obtain information locally, why can't my own village scholars do the same, follow the same pattern of avoiding to take remote tours to Johannesburg? Instead, they should tour still somewhere locally to get information on Mofokeng Megakgosi. Of course, I reached that mileage of establishing PAS History Art Gallery right here in the village, which is a centralized spot for all the schools and all the communities of all villages around the village, to get not information in a glimpse, but in a fuller spectrum.
Before we go further into all the different sort of initiatives that you've started and established, I'm really curious, what was your background to that point? Were you already a poet and a writer? Were you already, did you have a background in education or heritage resources, or was this a transition from something else into all of this work?
I actually didn't have career of research and history. My background, I obtained a national diploma in I graduated Setlogelo Technikon in Garankuwa, near where I'm staying. I obtained a national diploma in public management and administration. So I may say to you, I'm a self-taught researcher, self-taught historian, self-taught poet. All the labels I may give myself in arts industry, they are all because of the family bones. You know, it's in my family bone. I never went for schooling for becoming a historian. I have been having also, besides it being in the family bone, I have always been having passion, and the creamier part to that is because we have had trunks in the family. You know, the old trunks that are made out of iron, you know, they have lost even the color. They turned bronze. Yeah, those trunks have been belonging to my great grandfather and passed to my grandfather. Now the trunk is now with me as the descendants because they are no longer alive. Supportive material to those archives, I find them at the FIBA archiving. It's in Joburg Art Gallery, at the library of the Joburg Art Gallery. There's a big archive under Dr. Elsa Miles Botha. And according to the librarian of Joburg Art Gallery, they were not aware of Megakgosi's archive up until I went there to ask for information from those archives, because according to the other lady, it has been a colonial museum archiving, you know, white popular artists and white old leaders. So they were happy to realize that they were also unsung pioneers of contemporary art, because it's an art museum. So I'm happy to be in collaboration still with the Joburg Art Gallery because some of my written material, the gallery would like to digitalize it to help others come in for information.
I really love that you brought up the, or that this conversation sort of moved towards the Joburg Gallery, because that is such a, I mean, as you say, I think it's such a an underutilized, obviously it's been in the news a lot, you know, it has a lot of issues. It makes it so important that these things, these spaces get preserved and are, you know, used by people. So you mentioned that your great grandfather is or was a, you know, an artist, an intellectual, all the way, you know, born 1864, so, you know, right in the, you know, the very, very hectic historical times. And I'm just wondering if you can say a little bit more about him, how he came to be in Habalatsane, how
Okay,
he
no
came
worries.
towards art, which is obviously a sort of unconventional path for anybody living at that time.
Okay.
Yeah, just give us a little bit more context on him.
He was actually born in 1864 at Matlhare in Rustenburg. And then he had to Hebron with the Lutheran Church congregation. And then from arriving at Hebron, with one of the German missionaries, Reverend Kaiser, and then in Matlhare, and the neighboring areas like Bethany, there was another German missionary, Reverend Behrens, who was stationed in Bethany. That's why you even right now at current find Behrens Museum. I've been there for my book, The Kasi Biography, that needs to be released soon, published soon. Yeah, there's a chapter where I feature that museum, talking about still how Micha Kasi originated in his work with the German missionaries in SA, as well as the artworks that they had to take to Germany to exhibit. So from on arrival to Hebron, they found a white boer, Engelbrecht, who was a farmer who was owning the farm, and the congregation together had to, of 27 family members, had to buy that farm. Then Micha Kasi had to stay in Hebron with the congregation, and they found that that Engelbrecht, at the same time, he had some laborers that he was giving some jobs too. So they decided that they cannot kick them out. You know, it will be unhuman. Rather, instead, they should let them stay with them so that they can also expand their missionary of Lutheran Church. Yeah, the group was a different clan of Botswana to the Bakwena Bamokgopa that Micha Kasi fell under. It was Bahadla. So in 1894, he had to start the Sunday school at Hebron. In the past, there were challenges where the first community of Kabalazani, they were having challenges where many people were relocating to Hebron in order for them to be receiving the word of God from Mekhakhasi. So they realized that most of the youth is flogging out from the village Habalatsane. Then there was a plea with the chief, early chief J.M. Mamakgale, to find a way of bringing someone in the village close to the people who could still do the very same job right here in the village, instead of to block all those tours, remote tours from the village to Hebron. Then that's when Micha Kasi was appointed by Chief J.M. Mamakgale and the Reverend Kaiser to come to the village to Christianize the early community of the village in exchange of a big stand that he was supposed to choose for himself and his family. That's where you find the 1921 Museum Heritage House of Mirakhasi. Then he was appointed on the 5th of May 1894, and then he started his job on the 30th of May, still the same year, 1894. So, arriving in the village, he had to cut the trunk of marula tree and use it as a blackboard. Remember, he was a self-taught sculptor. So he cut the trunk of marula tree, use it as a blackboard, called the earliest community of the village to introduce basic education under the same marula tree, and then his people sitting on the rocks. In the afternoons, the parents to the scholars had to come and gather under the same tree to receive teachings from Khasi. So that prompted, because according to him, it was a way of him protesting against the missionary education. Because according to him, for you to say in the past, for you to say you were well educated, that will be by reading the Bible in your own mother language, Setswana, Sepedi, and Sesotho. So to read the Bible or Catechism or Harpa, yeah, Sekolo, written by German missionaries in still Setswana language. So coincidentally, the parents were very happy with the kind of development he was bringing to the village by introducing the basic education. And that prompted them to have a protest and approach the early kings of the village, which you also find in the same book that I showcased, written by Khasi. Those kings are found on the poem he wrote, titled Kabalazana Miriti. In that poem, many people they have confusion because in those times there was still drought in the area. So there's a part where he mentions that the problem of the village is drought. But in Setswana, he mentions that there's a lenyora. So nobody was having an idea that he was actually referring to the lack of education that the village community was facing. So the community had to face the chiefs and say, we need this kind of education that Khasi has just introduced under the tree. So coincidentally, the government also introduced the first umbrella house for all the missionary school teachers to be stationed under to receive professional education. Because according to my great grandfather, still there was still no formal education. Anyone was picked randomly from the village to become a teacher, regardless their literacy. So Khasi was amongst those to receive professional, amongst the first South African black teachers to receive education at Kelnatin. He had passion in saying to it that his people become literates, To part, he had to make a way of them parting with illiteracy to become, literates. So then he had to decide, make a big decision and step to say, I'm parting away with this missionary position to go and study at Kelnatin, to come back as a qualified teacher, because remember, he was from a missionary school, and many black teachers of that time were all in missionary schools. So according to him, he said many people could not read and write. they could not understand English well. He had to make sure that he focuses on his studies and come back and changes a life of a Kabalazane village scholar who schooled under the Marula tree shade.
So,
Yeah.
if folks were to visit Kabalatsane today, what would they find and what kinds of initiatives do you have working in that area?
Yeah, before I talk about those initiatives, you were asking me, but you first asked me earlier on what makes Kabalazane such a special place. Yeah, I still want to answer that question, then I'll get into
Please,
the
please do.
initiatives. Yeah, my village that I'm very proud of, like I said, it's a very dusty village with a lot of mosquitoes, a lot of cows. I love it as it is. It's a very special place because it is the cradle of our cultural heritage. It is where you find our way, like a place where our own ancestors lived in the past. The customs and the history we shape. So, me, Kabalatsane represent the resilience and strength of our people, who, despite facing centuries of oppression, colonization, and marginalization, they have managed to preserve their cultural identity. That's what I love about Kabalatsane. Unsung heroes, in particularly Mehakase, whom I'm preserving his heritage and still at the current day South Africa promoting his history. I mean, we have had tourists coming to the village seeking for information on Mehakase, making so many consultations with my grandfather, Sergeant Samuel Sekanuhasi, who's the son, the sixth son of Mehakase, who attended the Second World War of Egypt, Emilane. So in 19, in he was born in 1914. 1914, and then he attended that World War of 1942. Yeah. So he's been getting consultations from various international researchers, more particularly Germans and Americans. At the moment, if you can Google, you'll find German narratives. There's German books that even this year, I was surprised to learn that there are still other books that I wasn't aware of written by German writers. I still have to go to Reverend Lang and collect my gift that they have archived for me. They just bought that book written in Germany. So, what does it tell about their Khasi? It shows that there's something dynamic about him that people are not even aware of. So, the space where I am, it's a PAS History Art Gallery. It's a space behind his 1921 Museum Heritage House. It's a space that attracts tourism in South Africa. We host through Rancho Arts Education Ensemble, NPC. That I established, we host the yearly cultural events, and then those events they bring a lot of tourism in the village.
I mean, it always, whenever I visit a new place in South Africa, these stories are
Yes.
absolutely everywhere,
Yes.
of extraordinary people and sites and things that are often hidden in plain view. I mean, people know about them, but there are lots of places that are not being preserved, are not being drivers of tourism and development in
Yes.
communities. So I'm interested in what your experience as sort of a heritage entrepreneur has been. and what the biggest challenges you've faced and have overcome have been in really making Jabalatsane the center that you've built it to be over the past several years.
Yeah, honestly speaking, the challenges, I don't want to see any of my local people going through the same challenges that I face in life. That's the main reason you see me busy even on social media, helping so many groups of people from different ages. Because I decided that if not now, then when? Because we don't know how long we're gonna stay in this world. And I remember at some stage I had to go and stay in Soweto. You know, many people they left Northwest because you know, Gauteng, it's not just a myth that Gauteng is a place of gold. I did experience it by leaving my own village to go to Gauteng in order to see to it that my projects get funding. Of course, sorry, the load shed. We can carry on. Yeah, unfortunately, I had to leave my village to go closer to the sources of funding. And by then, I was not that mature like now. I had to start getting people to help me with mentorships. I was fortunate enough, I was not paying for any consultations. I was assisted by Dr. Gavin Anderson, who was the university lecturer. And also proceeding further, I was assisted by, because I visited the National Arts Council seeking for funding, but I had to also start with mentorship program first from one of the National Arts Council Arts Development Managers. Yeah, who like first time of seeing him, he was not looking friendly. So I had some goosebumps because you know when you come from a village approaching people in big cities, it's a challenge. You lack even your confidence, even though you are having a very rich content of work to showcase, but you come without your own confidence. So I appreciate a lot the National Heritage National Arts Council offered me Mr. Zenzira Matseba, who started me from where Professor Gavin Anderson have left. He had to carry over with me, and then up until I became an independent arts entrepreneur with who was in a 100% position to work and apply independently for funding. So yeah, it started with year 2018 when the National Arts Council funded the initiative I brought. It was in Johannesburg, though. It was the resurgence of the African Jazz Pioneers, the band that my late uncle belonged to. So I proved myself to the National Arts Council that I can successfully run a premium jazz event with the embassies attending as the audience at the Club Marabi in Johannesburg. Then reporting back, giving the narrative report and a financial report, audited one. The National Arts Council was happy to liaise further with me for future supports. So then I had to receive the other project. It was through my organization. It was the Khasitlan Tribute. And that time it was the beginning of COVID in South Africa. So we were planning to host it at the South African State Theatre. Unfortunately, the lockdown started, so I had to find ways of convincing the National Arts Council that we can still do this as an online program, yeah, where we don't need a physical audience, but we built a digital one through social media, and then it of course worked for us, where we shot it in Randburg. We had the popular Prince Ling was as the MC of the program, and the popular South African actress for SABC, Mom Abigail Kubeka, who's also a South African jazz activist and jazz player equally to Baba Prince Lenwasa. They were on board. She was a storyteller about her previous life with the Khasi in the industry. So it went successfully well to an extent that after that, I still sent the report to the National Arts Council. Then the National Arts Council was highly impressed with the work that I have done, and then it invited my organization for a 3 years contract, which then included many departments in the organization and children, etc. We hosted weekly kids workshops and all this other multidisciplinary arts and cultural activities. But still, even after that, the contract expired in it was we got it in 2019. It expired in 2021. Then afterwards, we faced some challenges of not being able to get the next contract. It was because of some of the documents. The local police station at the Hebron police station, they made a mistake of not putting a date stamp on one of the documents that they were certifying. And that made us lose a contract of 3 years. That's the challenge that one faced. Where then I tried making an appeal. It did not work, and then it left me with a challenge of sitting in an organization with different departments to run, and those departments people were used to earning out of work, and then at a later stage, because I had to understand that people have families to feed. So some had to go and get the job somewhere temporarily. And there were a few that had to say, we're going to stay behind and stay and be supportive. And we will become the volunteers in the organization up until the other time where we find something sustainable for the organization. So still those loyal ones that had to say they were staying for volunteering. It was a burden for me because at some stage I remember having some company, staff members coming here, camping here, because I'm working privately at home. We are having an office at home at the building, still at the museum. So we would be hosting people to sleep here with us and at the same time pushing some programs with us in the company, but not earning a salary. So at the end of the day, we get drained because now we have to use the family ends meet to help out. You even end up using the grocery for your family to help out up until the stage where you are left with nothing to give to anyone or to even give to your kids. Because you are economically drained Even my own friends would be saying, why don't you allow us to give you the job at the Department of Land Affairs and, leave this as an industry? But, all these things, they go with the calling. I always tell people it's been challenging, of course, but I have belief that in the long run, it will pay off. It will pay off in the long run.
And I love that you're going into detail on this because I feel like there are
Yes.
people watching this who are, feeling like they want to get into this work, and they also are, it's difficult, it's a very, very
Yes.
difficult space to operate in, but it's possible to do. And I think people who do obviously have a calling for it and a heart for it, will
Yes.
always sort of figure out a way to make it work.
Yes.
What would you have done differently, maybe in the early days of your work? If you'd go back to 2018 and say, well, maybe it would have been a lot easier if I had done this beforehand or changed this.
I wouldn't have done anything differently. I would rather say I would have started earlier. I would have started earlier with whatever I have started, then I wouldn't be where I am right now. Yes. And I also remember at some stage, if I have to turn back the clock, it will be only for one reason, for me to get hold of my grandfather, who I was still in access of. Because at some stage, I remember I was studying economics at school, at high school, so and doing commercial subjects. And he would call me. He liked narrating stories of the past, But at some stage, I would be tired of listening because of my passion was into what I was doing by then. So I would say to him, but how will I benefit in terms of history? Because by then, it was because of where I was studying. We were always taught about the same story of Jan van Riebeck, stories of 1652. There was nothing appetizing like getting the real authentic history of Africans. Maybe if the Africans could have been meshed in, maybe there would have been something to attract me to listen further to my grandfather. So the similar story made me lose interest in the actual important information that I could have obtained when I addressed my grandfather as Sergeant Samuel Sekanohas. They say, wow, we didn't know him. His other side as a surgeon, we just know him as a, musician and music teacher. I ended up getting the certification of it's an antique one. His participation in Egypt. It was signed by a lieutenant. That certificate is at the FUBA archives. At the Joburg Art Gallery and the archives of the scan of some archives and photocopies so that I can also help those who are interested in writing history books, the upcoming generations. The intention is to have a special archive here in the museum for anyone to access those archives. So not to struggle the way I struggled in my life. Also, the archives I collected at Robben Island. I remember I went to the Robben Island because of the story on my uncle, who was exiled for 13 years in Zimbabwe. He escaped South Africa on being hunted by the 1976 Soweto Riot Police.
This
They
is
were
Bungle, who
accusing
was
him.
also in the African Jazz Pioneers.
Yes, that's the one. So he was accused of teaching politics while he was teaching music, emulating his father and grandfather as music teachers. He was teaching at Soweto at Five Roses Bowl. So escaping to Zim helped him where he was free from being sentenced to Robben Island. So he could have been at the Robben Island. So the reason he was hunted was because some of his music students were involved in politics. Yes. So he came back after the release of Nelson Mandela. On arriving back to the country, he joined his younger brother and they performed with the African Jazz Pioneers. Sadly, on arrival, he couldn't find his mother. She passed on because of a stroke. The challenge of having two sons gone for 10 years, not knowing where they are, caused the strain to the family. So the saddest part was that him and the other brother could not bury their mother. He was exiled. And then his brother was on tour with the African Jazz Pioneers outside South Africa.
I love family histories because you can see all of these different men and women involved at all these different points with the different challenges of South African history, right? I mean, the early missionaries in the 19th century, World War II, apartheid, the end of apartheid, and you see how those legacies play out. And the beautiful thing about it is that they play out everywhere. And I had never, before I started speaking to you, I had never heard of Kgabalatsane. I had never really thought about anything that was going on. I mean, I don't think about Northwest all that often, if I'm brutally honest with myself. But you get so much when you just sort of start to dig, and it's as you said, so many challenges involved with starting that work and with sustaining that work. But I really do think that it's such an inspiration that you've been able to start so many initiatives and through persistence really build something very, very unique. We have about 10 minutes left. I wanted to invite you to talk about the object that you brought in.
This is the chain my great granddad crafted in 1894 using a piece of wood. According to him, he named the chain Raincho. It's an old Setswana writing. It was bigger than this. It was something like huge, like this hole in between my arms. According to him, the chain had many links assembled to each other. To make one hole because it had something that hooked it to make it one hole like this. So according to him, he was saying, so should the nations stick to love and unity and strength, talking about the blacks and whites. So it resembles unity. And I had to name my organization Raincho Arts Education Ensemble. We specialize with social cohesion programs in continuing what my great grandfather was doing through this chain, and him also in the past dealing with the social cohesion programs, developing the community of his people, Bakwena ba Mokgopa. And on this day, the great news are that I got the email from Germany, the person in charge with South African matters. Remember, I have been busy with the repatriation process of trying to repatriate the
Yes.
artworks that goes along with this chain. The artworks that are 131 years of age, that were archived, that were crafted by my great-granddad. They've been exhibited at the Hermannsburg Museum in Germany. And in December, another museum in the city of Hanover had to exhibit the same works again. There was a big exhibition. So I have been liaising with Germany to help with the repatriation for them to be back to South Africa to be stationed right here at the Museum House of Mihalhazi. So today I got an email of the pictures of all the works because I've been requesting for the pictures before the actual repatriation. I requested the pictures and directed how I would like them to capture those pictures so that I can feature them on one of the chapters of my book, The Khasi Biography. Actually, there's the closing chapter. We needed the pictures. We already wrote everything. I only needed the pictures to feature in the book. So the Khasi Biography is financed by the National Heritage Council. So the National Heritage Council is going to be happy to know that, additional to the research work I have done, I managed to repatriate the artworks of my great-grandfather.
That's fantastic news. It's really
Yes.
it's
So the
exciting.
book should be printed by next month, mid next month.
And
It's
where
in a
will people be
publishing
able?
process. It's in a publishing process by Tango with Text Publishing, edited by Mrs. Kirsten Rolston. They are based at the Sandton Mining site.
So when it does come out, that's what I sort of wanted to close with. I know that you have books that are already out that people can go and buy.
Yes.
So I don't know if you want to talk about where they can go and get them if they're interested in learning more, and then also if they're interested in coming to Jabalatsane and seeing some of the places and artifacts that you've described. How do they do that? Do you keep regular hours? Do they get in touch with you by some means for an appointment? How does that work?
Yes, like even right now, this coming Saturday, I have a group of people coming for a tour right here at the village. Yeah, people can get me on info.rancho@gmail.com. Info with info dot RAENCHO at gmail.com, or they can call me at plus, plus 2 6 9 4 8 3 9 7 8 4, or they can check me on Facebook, Susan Skhosana, in brackets, Itumeleng, ITU. Itumeleng with ITU. And I'm selling the books by myself right here at the Stand 1684 Morolong section in Gabalatsane Village, Northwest Province in South Africa. And I'm also sending books via courier, but there will be very soon books sold online. People should always keep on checking us online.
So the best way,
Yes.
if they're interested in any of the things you do, is to reach out directly and either set up an
Yes.
appointment to come and see your operation in Jabalatzane,
Yes.
or arrange
Yes.
to get access to some of your books. I really appreciated your willingness to join me today, because I think that people like you, people who are heritage and arts entrepreneurs, are really unsung heroes in South Africa, because as we've discussed, there's so much that is remaining out there, and you do feel, when you enter into that kind of work, that you are on kind of fighting against the clock, because a lot of the people that you're interested in recording and getting information from and getting pictures and documents from are aging, right? Or are no longer with us
Yes.
in this world.
Yes.
So I think it's a really inspiring story for somebody who didn't start out with an advanced degree or with a whole lot of like elaborate professional work in that background, to make so many different things happen and bring so much awareness to this story that
Yes.
is so crucial. Thank you so much for this, and I wish you all the best in all of your endeavors, and hope that repatriation
Much welcome.
is going to come through soon.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.